they said of me. Let us go to the house of the Lord. I understand y'all's restaurants close at 2 o'clock around here. Amen. Man, I am really sweating. My glasses are fogged up and I'm not even wearing them.
I was too, brother.
Tell you what, I radiate lots of heat. If we could stand for the reading of the Word today, you can turn your Bibles to 1 Kings 18, verses 17 through 26. A little bit longer reading than I normally do. I may have to say a few words, so these things will go ahead and defrost a little bit for me. Thank God for all of you that are here today. It's good to see Jake here today.
Amen.
Well, Jake, I'm glad to see you. I didn't hear much going on. I'm glad to see you, Jake. I really am. Amen. Jake's one of those guys, he puts up with all my story. He told me, he said, used to you would call and tell me a story. He said, the next day you'd call and tell me the story again. He said, then you got to where you would tell me a story and pretty much in the same phone conversation, you would tell me the same story again. Now he said, you tell me the same story in the same sentence when you talk. And I said, maybe you need to listen a little better is what the problem is. And I have lost my water bottle, so I'm going to appropriate another one of these. Amen. But the Lord has spoken to me, and it's very good to be here. I'm very happy to be here. I don't know why it is, but every time I come here, and I guess you all could just go out and tell them, there's something I want to see here more than anything else, and it's not that all you lovely, wonderful, great people, I want to see them Henry Johnston boys again. I haven't seen them in so many years, and I don't even keep up with them really on Facebook. I know we agree a lot on politics, which I promise never to preach here. One day I may, but those things still aren't ready. But we'll just see if I can read. But I am so thankful to be here. It is 11:36 according to AT&T. So I guess they still own the phone company. I'm not sure. That's what my phone says. 1 Kings 18, verses 17 through 26. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah. And this was a kind of a funny meeting. Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou. You know, it always amazes me of the, I'm looking for the right word and I'm not finding it. Basically, the guts, the tenacity, whatever you want to call it, of some men of God. I was at Because of the Times a few years ago, and Pastor Anthony Mangan, and that guy is, he's a wild man. I love that guy. And my pastor was trained by him. And my pastor's a crazy wild man. And I thank God for my pastor. But the minister had spoken. And you know how we do in Pentecost. When the preacher preaches, it is ordained of God, we believe, for someone to get on the piano and play softly. And right. And Anthony Mangan looked at the lady playing the piano and he said, shut that thing down. He said, God spoke to us and we're going to deal with it. We ain't going to sing this away. Choir starts to get up to sing and he just turned around and gave them one of those looks and they shut up in a hurry. And he looked at the piano player and said, I'll pull the cord out of it. I hear one more note. We're going to deal with what God spoke to us. I like men of God like that. That's not who I'm going to be today. Just wanted to let you know. Just wanted to let you know, get that out of the way. I'm not one of those kind of people who are, where's John at? John, do I sugarcoat my words? Never. He knows that. I am very plain spoken. When I say it, there doesn't need to be a prophetic dissertation about it, about what was really meant when Dad spoke. Dad meant exactly what he said. That being said, verse 17, there's the meeting with Elijah and Ahab, and Ahab said, are ye who that trouble Israel? Verse 18, he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but you have, and your father's house, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, which is east of here a little ways, and the prophets of Baal, 450. I joke around a lot. It's okay to laugh when I say stuff like that. It's okay. It doesn't bother me. 450 of the prophets of the groves, 400 which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel. Ahab hated Elijah. But it amazes me when the man of God that he knew was a man of God spoke, he just did what he was supposed to do. I want to tell you, it's time we get a little bit of boldness about us and not afraid to speak to the kings of this world and let them know what God Himself desires and expects of them. There's nothing wrong with that.
Amen.
So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah, and that was a very... there was a very distinct purpose, very strategic, that Elijah gathered them to Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word. Then Elijah said unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under, and I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. Let him be God. The one that answers by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, "It is well spoken." And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, "Choose you one bullock for yourselves, dress it, for you are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under it." And verse 26, "And they took the bullock which was given, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning until evening." I messed that up. "From morning even until noon, saying, 'O Baal, hear us.' But there was no voice, none that answered, and they leaped on the altar which was made." I want to preach for just a few moments because I can eat a lot of food between now and 2, and I want to consume all I can in that amount of time. Worshiping a God who cannot answer. Worshiping a God who cannot answer. Lay down your Bibles. Let's lift our hands toward heaven and pray that God's will be done. Jesus, I love you. Lord, I pray today your word be in my mouth, a two-edged sword. Lord, doing the work, God, that you desire and intend to do today. I pray you bless our hearts, our minds, our ears to hear what the voice of the Spirit says today. And Lord, we give you praise and glory over all that's done in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Turn around. Shake someone's hand, tell them, "My, you look nice today." Amen. You can be seated. So good to be here today. Again, I must say that. So thankful when your pastor texts me and asked me. I was very delighted. Amen. But like I said in the first service, there ain't nothing I can say or do but what y'all don't know if it's the truth, so I'm just going to be me today.
Amen.
Amen. It's hard preaching to your family. You ought to stand up in your house with 9 of your kids and 3 of your grandkids and try to preach to them. Amen. Mama does a little more preaching in that place than I do, and that's okay. I want to read in verse 18, "He answered and said, 'I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house.'" I hope we understand today. Well, first of all, I want to go into a little bit of what's going on. Ahab and Jezebel here, some very evil people. King in Israel, he was there. He was a very horrible king. Jezebel, just on a power trip, wanting to get her thing done. She believed in Baal and Asheroth, and she wanted to bring her gods into the nation of Israel and have them. And she thought the best way to become an important person in the place of Israel is marry the king. And she married Ahab just to set up her own little kingdom and do her thing. And the Baal was a false prophet. He was a prophet. In fact, it was said that, and I had it written down here, Baal was the god of rain and fertility. Isn't it funny? We find ourselves in a drought right here in the Word of God. We find ourselves in a drought. I don't know if you've ever found yourself in a spiritual drought before. It's probably not because a man of God spoke into your life and caused that drought like happened here. It's more than likely because we stopped praying and we stopped reading and we believe that we are all that we really need to make our own decisions every day. We don't need a God to help us through all of that. Well, I guess me and this brother's the only one that's ever experienced that in life. You're not going to scare me with all your noise. You can scream and yell and blow your tonsils out at me and I'll keep them. I may need them someday. But you know, as we find ourselves, it's a bad place. And the thing, and it amazes me when Elijah spoke and said it's not going to rain. The king had a little special power and privilege that he could commandeer the resources and bring them to himself. So it didn't even bother him. But as the famine went on, it even began to bother the king and things were bad. In fact, he had told his servant, he said, go out and find any spring, any well of water, anything anywhere so we don't lose all of our beef. We need to be able to save them. And by chance, his servant met Elijah. And Elijah said, I'm supposed to meet with Ahab. And his servant said, there ain't no way I'm going to go tell Ahab. We know how you are. You'll be gone in a chariot of fire or something. You'll even go here. God will transport you there. Ain't no way I'm going to go tell Ahab you're coming and then you ain't going to be there. And he said, you go tell Ahab I want to see him. I'll be here. And all of a sudden, the king desired to meet with a man of God, and the man of God spoke something with power and authority into the life of the king, and the king did exactly what he said. I hope somebody today understands the apostolic authority God put inside you and I by the power of the Spirit of the living God today, that we can speak into things in our lives and the lives of others and begin to see those things change forever. If you and I understood, you know, let me use the analogy of the tower they were building in battle. No, that's not where Solomon kept his 700 wives, according to... That's a joke, too. You can laugh about that. At the Tower of Babel, it amazed me. Why is it God said we got to go down there and tear that thing down? Because he said they all speak the same language. And if we don't stop that, you know what amazes me today? I don't know if it's true. I get on Facebook and read just to make myself mad, get my blood pressure up where it needs to be. I want to comment so bad and tell them, you're an idiot and you know it. Alright, Jesus, I know I am. Please all shut up about it. But I'll sit there and I'll get on there and I'll listen to things and I'll hear what's going on and I get so frustrated sometimes at the things that people say on there. And I'm like, why did you get the account in the first place? How do you need that? But I begin to look at some things, and I read something about how the United Airlines, the things that their employees did. Now, I've been warned not to preach about, and I'm not going to tell you who asked me not to preach about it, but no, I'm just messing. There are some things that are very divisive going on right now in our world. To take the shot or not take the shot. To do this or not do that. To wear a mask or not wear a mask. There's all these kinds of things. And at the end of the day, you and I can sit there and pick each other's eyes out and tear each other apart or realize and remember that we're all children of the Most High God. And you're my brother and my sister, and I refuse to speak out against you. I don't care what you're doing. I think it's crazy. But when the world knew at the Tower of Babel that they could stick together and be of the same voice, what kind of power and authority would be in the child of God if we could just stick together in power and authority and begin to speak against things in the church and in our world? It's time we stand up and be the church today. It doesn't matter today. Now, I'm not talking about being disrespectful. I've seen people that put on their hashtag, not my president. Well, I don't care if you voted for him or not. And first of all, here's the thing that really bothers me. You all know I'm very conservative, so you know which side I lean to. And that doesn't even matter today. The thing that bothers me the most are people that say that Jesus is their portion and their God. Whining and crying like 3 year olds, but their guy didn't become president.
Say it. Oh, say it.
Is God on the throne or is He not? And you know your greatest problem you're facing is, and I know this because God told me this. He said, you're so upset the way the election... I said I wasn't going to preach politics, didn't I? He said, you're so upset the way the election went for one reason. You might just love America more than you do heaven.
Come on. Come on.
Sometimes I think it's okay to be just a little upset with God. It's like, dude, come on, that hurt.
Yeah.
And I realized I didn't want to lose my way of life and my freedom that I have right here. But is this freedom? Is this what God really intended and called freedom? Okay, enough on that. I got to go on because we got lots of beans and taters to eat. I just think... Oh man, I got to bend over now. I just think that if we could lay aside some of these little things that don't amount to, as Grandpa Riddle used to say, a hill of beans.
Yes. Amen.
If you're comfortable doing it, if you're not, don't. And I'm not your pastor, but I'm going to say something here real quick. Don't tell me you're scared of a virus in church, but not a Walmart.
All right.
Try it.
Say it.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
Amen.
Because that's a lie from the pits of hell. You were looking for a way out and you found it. Period. I'm done with that. I believe today that you and I, no matter what happens, we have got to stick closer than we ever had before. And I think it's time we begin to get bold in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I think it's time for us to stand up and then not wonder what side we're on. I think it's time, as he said, if God is God, serve Him. But if Baal be God, serve him. And quit sitting on the fence and trying to figure out if you're going to be a Christian today but not tomorrow. You're either going to live the life or you're not going to live the life. You're either going to serve God. And I want to tell you, my father-in-law said something to me many years ago, and he was so right. He said, you know the problem we have? We think someone comes into the church, they repent of their sins. Hi, baby, I love you. There's my little sweetheart. And they come in and they're baptized in Jesus' name because there is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved.
Amen.
We must do that in that name. We need a revelation of that name. And then they receive the Holy Ghost, and it's a funny thing. Everyone I've ever seen get the Holy Ghost speaks in tongues. It's the weirdest thing. And they expect them to be perfect in that moment right there. Perfect. Boom. My father-in-law said to me, you get an idiot and you fill him with the Holy Ghost, you know what you got? An idiot with the Holy Ghost. And he's exactly right. But I don't think there's anything wrong with being bold in who and what we are. We, you know, he said, are you the one that troubles Israel? I want to tell you something. We trouble ourselves and all those in our charge and around us when we forsake to do what God has commanded us to do. That's when we have trouble. You know, I've heard people say, I don't know how in the world my kids, why they're doing the things that they're doing. Well, I know. You should have just asked me. They're acting just like their parents. That's why my boys are ignorant. Nick Mahaney, one of my favorite evangelists. I love that guy. He was in our church not long ago. And he said, I was looking at 40 to life. I'm getting ready to go to prison. I don't know what I'm going to do. And I called my daddy. I called Brother Mahaney, Brother Charlie. And he said, Daddy, I don't know what to do. Charlie Mahaney got out of prison when he was in his young 20s for some pretty nasty stuff. Promised God he'd give God his whole life if God had delivered him. God did. Don't you think that the decisions you make in your life aren't going to go three or four generations on past you and haunt them. There's a reason to stand for holiness when it looks like no one is watching. There's a reason to stand for what's right when it looks like no one is here. I can't believe why people... At one time, Uncle Danny thought I was one of the most powerful men in the world. Here's why. Not because of all the money and the influence and the great suits I wear and all that. I had two men tell me, if you had come and taken our church and become our pastor, our kids wouldn't have backslid. I said, you mean I'm stronger than the DNA and the genetics you put in them? Is that what you're trying to tell me? Are you saying that I'm that awesome of a guy? I appreciate that, but you're wrong, and so are your kids. And your kids, the reason that your kids aren't in church anymore is they saw you backslide and become an alcoholic is why.
Right.
And let's just be honest and plain today. He said, are you the one that troubles Israel? He said, oh no, that's you and your father and his house for all the things that you've done. You brought sin, you brought iniquity, you brought idols into this place. Isn't it amazing we can't live any way we want to live? Now, Jake told me, he says, I'll be there Sunday, and I'll have my steel-toed shoes on. I said, ain't no reason to wear steel-toed shoes. It's just going to be plain, simple, ordinary, everyday stuff. Everyone's hurt.
I love it.
There have been things that I was really geared up to do in my life, and God said, but. My son asked me about 3 years ago, my oldest son, been youth pastor 11 years in our church. So, and I need to stop right there. Some of my boys are preaching, and that excites me.
Amen.
And some of them are just good, faithful saints. Not just good, they are great, faithful saints
Amen.
Of God.
Yeah,
great
thank
people
you, Jesus.
Of God. And every one of my children, but the very last one, are filled with the Holy Ghost and still going to the house
Amen.
Of God. And you know what?
Amen.
That ain't all just me. That's our great church that we go to and a great family that helps them and blesses them. And I'm thankful for that because I know there's some people who don't have that same blessing that I have. And it's not because I'm better than they were. It's just God chose to bless me with that. And I'm so very thankful. But my son asked me, he called me up and he began to, he calls me quite often. And I told him one time, I am so honored when you call me. But he said, Dad, you were this close to going down in the Cumberland Mountains, right down in the southeast corner of Kentucky, and taking a country church of people that loved you and willing to give you anything you wanted to do anything. I said, that was my first reservation. He said, why didn't you take the church, Dad? I said, one reason, you. He said, what do you mean, Dad? I said, God spoke to me. He said, I'm not going to tell you yes or no. I'm going to tell you, you take this church, and I want to tell you what it's going to do to your boy. And I said, God, I made you a promise. There was nothing. There was no church, no group of people more important to me than my family.
Right.
And I said, God, I will not do it if it'll destroy my son. He would have never got to be an 11-year youth pastor in our great church if Dad would have went after what Dad wanted.
That's right.
They said, whatever you want, you name it, we'll get it. You know, when you're a young preacher, that's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Okay, enough about Dale. I've got to get on with the story. In verse 21, how long are you going to sit on the fence? If God is really God, follow Him. And if Baal, follow Him. Do you know what this world... It is very, very simple in life. You're either going to serve the Lord your God,
yes.
or you're going to serve yourself.
Right.
Plain and simple. It is the God of this world that desires, and you know He wants one thing from you. Satan took Jesus and said, I'll show you all the kingdoms of this world if you do one thing. What was that one thing? Does anyone know? If you will fall down and worship me. You know what worship means? It comes from two old Greek words, worship. In other words, the way, whatever something is worth to us, that's the way we worship them. We are ascribing worth unto them. And I see people who are more concerned about what the unions and what this world can do for them than what Jesus can.
Amen.
I've come to say today, there is one thing. You are going to worship today whether you want to or not. And that is either you are going to worship at the altar of the one true God or you are going to worship
Amen.
The things that you want which are nothing more than the trick of Satan in
right.
your life.
Amen.
I believe today with all of my heart. In fact, I want to go to verse 19. He said, send and gather all of the people unto Mount Carmel, all of Israel. The reason that he wanted them to go, it was a very strategic location. This relatively tall mountain was well known for its dense forest and beautiful scenery. It was the site reputed of being highly favored by Baal. Sometimes we're afraid to go to places. Well, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that check in the Holy Ghost. I appreciate that. We need to understand and know that there are strongholds in this world that God has given us power and authority over today.
Yes, yes.
We need to understand that we don't have to just sit back and accept what Satan tries to shove down our throats. It's time we begin to realize that we have power and authority in the Spirit of God today. We need to understand and know that when we speak the Word of God, angels begin to listen, and Satan knows and understands whose child that you and I are today. We need to remember with all that we have, it doesn't matter who is against us if God is for us today. We need to get a little bit of gumption, as Grandma used to say, in our bones, and remember the pit that God dug me out of and remind me why He filled me with His Spirit in the first place. And that was to go and to seek and to save that which was lost. I watch people every day of my life serving and worshiping a God who cannot answer them and cannot hear them.
Amen.
How many times in the past up to this point in 1 Kings 18 has Baal answered his prophets? Not one. You know who these people are. They've been transformed up into this present generation and they're Cubs fans. That's who they are. That's who they are. Believe in a loser for over a century and nothing ever happened. I don't know why that. Anyway, that's just me. I know my Cardinals are out of it. I apologize for that. Verse 26. And they took the bullock that was given them, and they dressed it, and they called on the name of the Lord from morning until evening, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice or any that answered, and they leaped on the altar that they made. They're crying out and they're saying, O Baal, answer us, listen to us, hear us. And I'm sitting there thinking as I'm reading this, He has never answered your prayer. Why do you still worship Him? He has never brought anything into your life. Why do you revere Him? Why do you bring worth and ascribe worth unto His life when He's never done a thing for you? Why do we continue holding on to things that has never brought the things we need in this life?
That's right.
Why do we continue looking? You know, I've heard people say, if I could just marry that person, or just had that job, or just had that home, or just had that car, or just had this, or if I just... I recently bought me a brand new 2005 pickup. Two reasons I bought a 2005 pickup. They're a lot cheaper than 21s and 22s. Another reason, my wife didn't say no. So that was an obvious sign that it's okay to do it. When COVID first hit, I was praying. And I'll just be real honest. I said, God, I'm a little bit scared about some things that are going on in this world. Because I feel sin all around me. If you can't feel that, you need God. You need to pray through.
Right?
And God told me, I'll tell you how you're going to make it. You're going to give to me. And you're going to give to me like you've never given to me before.
Hallelujah.
I said, Lord, you're as hard of hearing as I am. That ain't nothing like I was saying to you. He said, you're going to give to me. And you're going to give to me like you've never given before. He said, in fact, we'll start out Sunday. Okay, what's Sunday? Missionary came. They needed X amount of dollars because they needed to finish up an orphanage for these children. I'm like, oh, Jesus. You know, I've been wanting a new boat, Lord. And God spoke to me a number, and I was like, I ain't never give that kind of money to another one. And I looked at my wife, and she said, God told me X amount of dollars. And I said, uh-oh.
Where's your own
now? Or grab a checkbook, hon. God began to challenge me with, I do lots of butchering. I've made deals with local farmers around. I've been a butcher for a while. I've got a walk-in cooler. I've got four freezers. I got four teenage boys that live in my house. It takes a cow and a pig and two chickens a day to feed them. There's some people that was needing some meat. And I said, God said, I've given you more than you need. You go give that to them.
Yes.
I went, put me, I'm not sitting here bragging on. I'm telling you how good my God is. I put meat in her freezer. Uncle Danny, I have four freezers that I constantly have called people and say, do you need this? Do you need this? Do you need this? Because it's like the widow. It just every time I open it, it's full. There's always so much there. Right. I just don't even know what to do with it. And I just keep giving it. There are people who had needs. And I look at my wife and God speaks the same number to both of us.
All right.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I want to tell you something today. I was born broke and I still got most of it. But God has blessed me with more than I've ever had in my entire life. And I've seen things happen to other people that is not happening to me today.
Yes.
I'm seeing things that happen to other people. Things going wrong in their lives and problems. And God said, would you give this to me? And I gave it to him because he reminded me every day of my life, it's not yours. It's mine anyway. And the breath that you breathe is mine. And I said, then God, let me give that breath to you every day of my life. But why would I ever want to pray to a God who isn't able to do that?
All right. All right. Say it.
Why would I want to trust and a 401k when I got a bunch of greedy trillionaires that just want to take more of it? Why would I want to trust in the world that is flawed by sin? Why in the world when God said, give me X amount of dollars, and he turns right back around? I'll tell you one. Same time we was down at Because of the Times in Alexandria. I messed my body up on my job and I no longer had a job because you've been out of work too long and we had to replace you, sorry. We know you had to have surgeries for a year to fix you up, but we're done with you. And I started to get a little bit better and then I thought, you know what, I was kind of getting tired of it anyway. God never takes something away from you. Uncle Jim told me this. He said, God will never take something away from you but what he doesn't have something better in plan.
Say it, brother. Say it. Say it.
I've never forgotten the words of my godly Uncle Jim. I thank God for him. And we ain't got a whole lot of money at that point because Dale ain't got a job right now and I'm on unemployment. And they're trying to get missionaries to go back out on the field. And I thought, I want to do something. And I looked at my wife and I said, honey, I want to give $500. Now let's just be honest. $500 to a missionary, that might get him a ticket, part of it home. I don't know. I've never flown. I'm scared to death of those things. I don't know why. The way I drive, I don't know why I'd ever be afraid of a plane. But and I looked at my wife and I said, I only give $500 to these missionaries. And I was just felt like that was just something. She said, I think you better double that. I said, honey, you realize we're in Louisiana. We got to make it home. $1,000 might kind of mess that up just a little bit. Didn't you tell me double it? So I doubled it. In fact, I think I made her write the check. I didn't have a job. Didn't know what I was going to do. You know, the amazing thing is, about 3 weeks later, an elder in our church talked to me about a business prospect. I'm doing it today. And I'm making more money today than I ever was in my life. And here's the crazy thing. The week I got my first paycheck from doing my new job working for myself, was one day after my last unemployment check run out. God never fails to provide. For his people. And I'm using this analogy not just to say how good God is, but it blows my mind how many gods we will pray to and worship and believe that they're going to take care of all of our needs. Why would we pray to a God who cannot answer? They said, "Oh, Baal, hear us. Baal, hear us." They even leaped on the altar. You know, there's some people that do a lot of crazy things and look pretty wild. It said they even cut themselves trying to get Baal to answer them. It was like a prophetic trick. They thought it might talk their God into doing something. And the amazing thing was this. I've been in the jails and I preached in there and I told them about Jesus. And I've even told ones that I knew the things they'd done, because the things they'd done is the reason their kids was in my house in foster care. And one of them did a very heinous thing. And in the jail, he smirked at me and said, "I didn't do nothing, Dale. I wanted to hit that idiot in the mouth." I'm just being honest with you today. And I preach mercy and grace. And God told me, if you preach forgiveness today, I don't care who walks through that door. And that man walked through the door. And I had to preach mercy and grace to him. But the amazing thing, there was a man in there, he rolled his sleeves up, he had scars all over, he cut himself all over. And I'm like, "Did you never learn how to use a knife, or what happened?" And he said, "You know why I cut myself?" I said, "No, I can't even think of any good or bad reason why you cut yourself." He said, "I cut myself because I want to feel something. I want to feel something." And he said, "I can't feel anything." They told me, when these prisoners walk in here, you don't touch them. "All right, Lord, I'm going to obey you instead of man today." And I laid my hands on that young man. And I said, "I want to tell you something. There's a God that knows your name. Heard enough about you to drag me in here today. And tell you about God." You need to understand and know one thing. I don't care if you can feel anything or not. You don't always need to feel anything. We don't need to always worry about our emotions or how we feel or how we think things are going to go. Because I got this knowledge up here that my God is for me and will never walk away from me. And He's always going to take care of me. And I don't need to feel something to know that my God is worthy of glory and honor and praise today. And I refuse to worship a God who can never, a God who can never hear my prayer. They would do the wildest things. And when I drive down the road and I see people with orange hair and weird paintings on their body, you know the funny thing is, they tell us that we're bound and they're the ones that's got chains all over them.
That's right.
And you're telling me I'm bound? Are you out of your ever loving mind? I'm free today in God. I thank God for it.
Yes.
I'm telling you, when you see someone like that, they're worshiping a God that will never be able to answer their prayer. They just cannot understand. And he said there was no voice there. If we are not hearing the voice of your God, the problem is not God. For John 10:26 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me."
Hallelujah.
People tell me I don't hear from God the way you hear from God, and that's fine, you don't have to. But I want to go into real quick. I'm amazed by what Elijah said as he began to pray. And first of all, if you're not hearing God, you're not hearing the voice of God, or maybe it's been a long time. I'm going to leave that down there because I don't want to have to bend over. The problem is, you probably need to get into the Word of God. And you need to begin to pray. There are people who have not heard from God for years that are still coming to the house of God. And they sit there and sing, "It is joy unspeakable I'm not making fun. I just happened to think of that when you guys sang the song.
Say it, brother.
I wanted to turn around and look and see how many people had a smile on their face singing this joy I'm speaking of. It's like this song. Really? I'm sorry, Jake. Maybe you should have brought your... I just know this. There have been times my pastor called me, said I'm sick, I got COVID, I'm not going to be able to preach Wednesday night. Can you preach Wednesday night? This is Tuesday night. And I'm like, oh God, I need to hear your voice. And it's nothing. It's not a problem, because when you make it a point every day, first giving your first fruits to God, the first thing you do is calling out to God, crying out to God, talking to Him. He's no longer your boss. He's your best friend when you do that. And He's not just a God giving me orders and directions. He's loving me and talking to me and helping me. That's the reason we don't hear the voice of our God, is because we don't spend any time talking to Him, and His sheep know His voice. The prayer of Elijah said this in verse 36. I already went past it. 36 and 37. Grab your Bible so you can see it. You want to see this. It's awesome. Elijah the prophet came near. And it also amazed me, they were in a drought, and He kept telling them, pour all the water three times, pour it on the sacrifice. He rebuilt the altar. He did it all. And Elijah the prophet came near, it says in verse 36, and said, Lord God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, let it be known this day that Thou art God in Israel. Let it be known this day that I am Thy servant, and that I have done all these things at Thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that Thou art the Lord God, and Thou hast turned their heart back again. Hear me, God. It amazes me. First of all, He began to draw on His lineage. I thank God today, and you should too. It doesn't matter how weird you think they are. I remember one time going to Grandma Burner's house, and it seems like it hadn't been too long after Aunt Judy deserted her and ran off after some big Greek guy. And I remember walking in there, and Grandma, you know, she was all by herself, and we went over there one time, I don't know, to do something, and I remember saying to Grandma, you know, it must be lonely in here by yourself. I always was one to have the greatest words of comfort, you know, to bring. And she said, by myself? Are you kidding me? She said, every morning I wake up, she said, there's times He talks to me before I get a chance to talk to Him. She said, He speaks into my life, and everywhere I go, she said, I go to the kitchen and I feel Him there. I know He's there. It amazes me, and I thank God for that apostolic heritage that I have. But I can't just let that apostolic heritage that Grandma fought for lay there dormant in my life. I've got to show to the generation that comes after me that there is a God that loves you more than you'll ever know and understand. And He's for you and not against you. And you need to stop looking at your life and the problems that you face as an indictment of God against you. His sheep know His voice. They hear Him. I want to go to Hebrews 11, 32 through 40 real quick. Amen. Amen, my Lord. The last call going on here in just a minute. Hebrews 11, verses 32 through 40. I want you to see this. You know, there are people who have literally given their lives for this gospel and for the things that have happened. There are people who still to this day that have sat on an apostolic pew, not just an apostolic pew, a pew in whatever Christian church and denomination, and still are totally convinced that God is the greatest thing that ever was. If you can look at this world and see anything that is appealing above that which Jesus is able to provide, I got to see that because I don't believe it. And I want to show you something here. Verse 32. And what shall I say more, for the time would fail me to tell Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawed asunder. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise of the Holy Ghost like you and I have. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. And my pastor said one night when he was reading these words, he said, all of you who can't make up your mind that Jesus Christ is the greatest thing that's ever happened to you in your life. And you forsake God and the people of God and the children of God over some of the stupidest things. He said, don't you know you're going to stand nose to nose and toe to toe with these people in the day of judgment? I hope it doesn't sound like I'm mad today, because I ain't mad at anyone. I don't know what y'all do. I learned something in some of my counseling courses. You know what the core root of anger is? Anybody a counselor here? It's fear. I said to some young punk in jail one day that's screaming and cussing and yelling. I heard the doors unlock and the guards walk in. I said, nah, we're good. I got the Holy Ghost. What's he going to do? They don't know what the Holy Ghost is. He ain't sure what I had. And I walked up to that young man. I got right up in his face and I asked him, what are you afraid of? He said, I ain't afraid of nothing, especially you. I said, I wouldn't be afraid of me either. I ain't that tough. I said, but what are you afraid of? Next thing I know, I got dudes as big as you just a bawling in jail. And I'm like, what did I just say? And I began to find out the things that they feared in their lives. Things that they went through. What their family was going to think of them when they got out of that place. And Uncle Danny, they needed a word of hope right then, not just somebody saying, it's going to be all right, we'll pray with you. And I said, I know a God, and His name is Jesus, and He can change your life forever. And He'll go back to the point of where your train derailed, and He'll put it back on track, and He'll give you a new life, and a new name, and a new vision, and a new purpose. And I watched them then stand and raise their hands, and God begin to pour gifts into their lives. I come to tell someone today, I spent a lot of years half-hearted about God. And I'm going to stand with people that were sawed in half and tortured, who never even had the comforter of the Holy Ghost to help them in their walk with God. I'm going to stand and stare at them in the day of judgment and tell them why I was afraid of something is the reason I couldn't go to church.
Jesus.
I hope someone's hearing me today. Because if God spoke this word into my heart, then someone that is sitting here today has been seeking things other than Jesus to find you comfort and your peace and your joy in your life. And I've come to tell you it ain't never, ever going to happen.
No.
It's never going to happen.
That's right.
There's going to come a time when that beast and the false prophet are there and the son of perdition stands and he says, you're going to bow down before me and you're going to worship the image. And you're going to do it or they're going to try to kill you just like they did the Hebrew children. And then what have you got in your resources in that day to stand in faith in God? I want to go just keep on reading down Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Wherefore, seeing we also, you and I, are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, yes, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, and consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself. Stop and think for a moment. I want everyone to put your Bibles down and put your thinking cap on for just a second. Most of us that attend church regularly, we're not idolaters, we're not fornicators, we're not murderers. We're pretty much some pretty decent people, you know? But we got that little thing that seems to keep tripping us up. That little thing, when I want to reach for a little bit more of God, begins to raise its ugly head to you and I. And I feel in the Spirit there's a lot of you know exactly right now that very thing I'm talking about. That one thing when you get mad because God didn't answer the prayer that you wanted Him to answer, or God didn't work things out the way that you wanted Him to work it out, or your kids didn't serve God like they should be because you raised them right and showed them truth. And that one thing that keeps raising its head every time you try to seek for more and more of God, that tries to raise its head up and keep you short of what God wants to do in your life. That one thing. That one thing. And the sad thing is, I used to think that there was things that I fought when I was a young man that I would no longer have to fight when I'm an old man. But that's not true. Satan just dresses it up differently. Somehow I still have to fight that same battle. Seems like every time. And when I get mad, that thing rears its head up. And it tries to say that your God didn't care, or this would not have happened. But I'll take care of you. Oh, be honest with yourselves today. But I'll take care of you. I'll help you out. I'll do good. I'm talking about a deceiver today.
That's right.
I'm talking about the thing when you reach out, when you really get excited about God, that one thing that you can't seem to get past or around. The reason is that thing has raised itself up wants to be a God in your life. I come to tell somebody today, why are we worshiping a God who cannot hear our prayers? I want you to stand today. Come up here saying, what in the Lord are you? Let's just go ahead and do our Pentecostal thing. Someone come up here. Give you hope that I'm stopping. I think that's probably more about what it's about. Yeah. From the day I think I was about 2 years old, my mom started bringing me to this church. I've been in church most services from the time I was 2, and I'm 52 now. That makes some of you old in here. Because I was just a kid and you was older than me. I've seen a whole lot of good people that I admired and respected that are nowhere near the church today. I begin to watch people deal with that same thing over and over and over and over again in their lives. Something that it seems like they poured money into, and they poured time into, and they poured resources into. And it's never, ever. word brought them an answer for the needs that they have in their life. It's never brought joy. It's never brought peace. It's never brought hope and comfort in the middle of the storm in their life. But we keep thinking that day. And we keep believing that someday things are going to be different. I'm preaching to someone today and I'm done. I want to ask you, I pray in the Spirit, Jesus, today, that you would show your people that one thing, God, that keeps raising its head. That today you could give them victory over that one thing, Lord. God, that keeps rearing up. That keeps showing itself unto them. Lord, that keeps promising better things that never gives it to them. I pray, God, today that you would pinpoint that thing in their spirit, Lord, and let them begin to deal with it and bring it to the altar today. And give that thing up. In fact, as many as would. When we come to the altar, the Spirit of the Lord is crying right now. God wants us to come and lift our hands and cast all our care on Him today. Come on, everyone, let's come. It doesn't matter if you're young or old. It doesn't matter if you got the Holy Ghost or if you don't. I come to tell somebody today there is a God that is standing here ready and willing and waiting to deliver you from the things that you walked or worked through. It's time we stop worshiping a God and giving time and resources to a God who cannot hear our prayers. We've done strange things. We've done funny things looking for a release of some things in our life and we can't find it. And we never will worship in a God who cannot answer our prayers. I pray, Lord, for your people right now. God, as they come to this altar and they seek you, Jesus. Lord, I pray your Spirit would fall on them. Begin to do a release. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Which means there is a release of the things that bind and hinder me today. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Let's keep praying today. Let's keep praying. If you're all right in your spirit, go pray with someone today. Brothers and brothers, sisters and sisters, there's some people that need a deliverance in their spirit today. We need a deliverance from that thing that keeps making me fall and trip up. Lord, whether it be my attitude, my fleshly desire, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, or the pride of life, whatever it may be, God, that keeps tripping me up, Lord. God, help me today. I need you to deliver me, Lord. God, if you are God, I'm going to serve you. But if the things of this world, Lord, I don't want to worship them. I don't want to give up to them today. In Jesus' name, I pray, Lord, hallelujah. Oh, we need to linger a little bit longer in the presence of the Lord today, church. Let's lift our hands and begin to praise Him and thank Him for what God has done already and what He wants to do in this house. Let's begin to give some praise and unity unto a God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask to think. Let there become a joy and a shout that comes out from the people of God. Let it happen today, Jesus. Lord, you are worth, Lord, of this world. righteousness shall be filled today. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.